Hear about the future of what we're doing and things that God has going, but we'll get into that in the next couple of weeks. If you can get in on our Sunday mornings, we're going to do some things on unity and the fellowship and that koinonia, it's called, in the fellowship, and see what God is doing, because it's a future that is quickly expanding beyond Margie and I and the help that we currently have. We have people that are stepped up and help. Many of you know a few months ago we went through kind of a reset and we kind of restarted a lot of the programs and things that we had done, and to kind of narrow things down, let's focus on what God truly wants us to touch on. And as we continue now to grow those things, some of those ministries and the help and the things that go along with all that stuff come back up again very quickly. And so we're in that place where God is going to be laying on people's hearts, and I plan to teach on some of that to be able to help encourage that, and also just things that I know that God has spoken He wants this body to hear. So we can get on the next few weeks. I think it's going to be a short series, so we'll see how it goes. Praise God. Well, let's get into God's Word this morning. We're going to talk about, I had a different title. I'm in a pastor's group online, and somebody posted, you know, hey, tell us the title of your sermon. And we already know the topic, right, for this Sunday. It's Resurrection Day. It's Easter, as some call it. And so we all kind of plugged in our titles and different ones, and I plugged in mine, and it was called A Tree to Tree. Okay, and then I did a little disclaimer behind it to kind of explain it just a little bit, because it has to do with the tree of life. Okay, and it all began with the tree of life. Jesus is in the beginning, okay, the tree of life. And then there's another tree that takes place, something else happens partway through and culminates as part of Jesus' ministry, where He hangs on a tree. And then you get to the end of the story and you see that that tree of life is again restored unto us. So I call it A Tree to Tree, okay? Or you could call it A Tree to a Tree to a Tree, however you want to say it. Gets kind of tongue-tying if you go too deep. Amen. Well, let's start with some prayer. Father, we're grateful to be here in Your presence, Lord, with Your people, hearing Your Word. And Father, I pray that You'll speak deeply into hearts this morning, Lord, penetrating through the walls. Father, anything that we have tried to put up and raise up or keep up that would block us from hearing Your Word speaking deeply into our heart this morning, Lord. We truly do want to hear from You. We want to know what You want us to know. We want to grow in the way You want us to grow. We want to yield ourselves completely and fully to You, and we do that right here and now. Father, we thank You. May Your Word speak so clearly into hearts this morning, Lord, that a life change takes place, Lord. Something is different as we leave this room this morning, Father. Let's go forth with a power and praise in the name of Jesus. We thank You. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So be it. So let's talk a little bit about Resurrection Sunday. Okay, Resurrection Sunday is a great time to remind ourselves of the divine plan of God. Do you know God has a purpose for your life? Your life is not meaningless. Your life has purpose. Okay, God had a plan when he put things in motion. You in particular are absolutely precious to God. Okay, as He put something in motion before the world even began, to be able to ensure that you could spend an eternity with Him. Okay, and not only that, but you also get to live an abundant and a fruitful life now here on earth, because of His plan and what He did. I picture Jesus when He was stepping out of that tomb, that He was looking for your face. Okay, He was looking for you and me as He stepped out, saying, let's see what I just did all that for. And He steps out to see us. Okay, He had a plan, and God put that plan in earth to reach us. As you probably know, the formation of the human race began several thousand years ago in a place we've come to know as the Garden of Eden. Right? Everybody heard of the Garden of Eden? Everybody nod if you've heard of the Garden of Eden. Okay, we're there. God created a wonderful man and a woman named Adam and Eve, and He intended for them to, quote, be fruitful and multiply, okay, and replenish the earth. Okay, He wanted them to care for and to tend to the earth and the animals that He created. He even gave Adam the job of naming them, right? In this wonderful paradise was many trees that were given for them for food and to be able to live from. But in the midst of that paradise was a tree called the Tree of Life. Okay, that tree was meant to sustain his precious creation, the people that he had created for an eternity. That was his plan with that tree. But because God wanted his children to be what I call more than a mindless robot, okay, without will or without emotions, okay, God wanted his children to be able to make choice, make decision on what they would do or not do, so that it wasn't a forced submission to be a good one, right? You weren't forced into being perfect in every possible way. God gave us choice. So as he did that, he had in the garden that all these trees and the tree of life, but he also put in that garden what is known as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, it was a choice that was then put into the garden. Let's read some of this. We'll go back to Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 8, and I'll read 8 and 9. It says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Then down at verse 15 it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree in the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.'" In other words, you could say that God gave his children free access to everything in the garden. Okay, in a similar fashion, it still kind of looks that way for us today, that God has given us free access to everything in the world. Howbeit, we know not all things are good for us, right? We have choices that we have to make in this world. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve gave in to the one thing that they were told not to do. Their choices, you would think, was pretty easy, right? You had 100 good things and, you know, one that they weren't supposed to. But they did. They gave in to that one thing they weren't supposed to, and it caused all of humanity to fall into sin. Okay, in many theological terminologies, they call it the fall of man. Okay, in other words, mankind fell at that moment. We were to eat freely of all the trees in the garden, except for one, that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay, and what that means is that God fully intended for mankind to have access to and to partake of the tree of life, which was also in the midst of that garden. Okay, up to this point, Adam and Eve knew only the goodness of God. Okay, they had no knowledge of evil. It was literally a paradise. Okay, they only knew good. But watch what happens when they yielded to those lies and deceptions of Satan. We'll read on in Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It tells us that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said unto the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' And the serpent lied or said unto the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.' And when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So instead of remaining satisfied with the tree of life, okay, they ate of the forbidden tree, And now the eyes of mankind were opened to see evil as well as good. Okay. In other words, you could say that the fleshly, carnal, demonic thrill of rebellion was birthed right there. So with that, God being a just and holy God, had already told them, how many, you know, if you've ever been a kid, anybody been a kid? Okay, we had parents that gave us instructions and said, don't do this or da-da-da-da-da. And they told you what was going to happen. And what happens if we do that and we don't follow through on the consequence over and over and over again? It spoils the child, so to speak, right? Things, bad things might end up happening. Okay, well, in this case, God being a just and a holy God, had already given instruction, you can eat of everything except that one. And the day you eat of that, it's not going to be a good day, right? You're gonna have your eyes open, and you're gonna understand and be open to death. So being a holy and just God, God didn't want to just set up a consequence and not do anything. So he had no choice but to reveal to mankind that there is a horrible consequence for engaging in evil. Okay, that which you know not to do, when you do that, there's a consequence. Their action caused a curse to come upon not only the devil, but upon all of mankind. And we can read this in Genesis chapter 3 as well, starting in verse 14. It says, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The knowledge of evil brought a curse. Because of the free will that God had created men and women with, it put an additional choice out in front of us. Okay, God wanted us to have that ability to make a decision, to choose God, choose life. Yeah, I know if I have 10 choices laid out in front of me and all 10 of them are good, I could pick any one of those and things are going to turn out great. Okay, but put one bad and 9 good ones, and now I have a choice to make. Okay, which one am I going to choose? Now, when there's an evil choice laid out in front of us, which we have every day, now our flesh, our fleshly desire, okay, carnality, even demonic influence is involved in tempting us to make the choice to go the wrong way, to make that bad choice, to reap the dire consequence that goes along with that. We know that we have an adversary called the devil. He's here to steal, kill, and destroy anything that is of God. Okay, that's you and me. He will try anything he can to throw a temptation out in front of you. Along with this curse that happened, we'll read here with Adam and Eve, is that our access to the good, just the good, including that tree of life, was removed. Okay, let's read this. It's in Genesis 3:22. It says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Okay, in other words, I want you to notice here that there's the basically an angel that is defending the tree of life, going to guard that. God did not destroy the tree of life. Okay, he didn't destroy the entire Garden of Eden. You know why? Because he had a plan to restore us back to that place. Okay, as a just punishment for sin, mankind was cut off from the tree of life. That stinks, right? Everybody say that stinks, right? We don't want to be cut off from the tree of life. Okay, that is a horrible, hope-crushing event in the history of humanity. Okay, but I have good news for you. And that is that God had a plan. Okay, he is a loving and merciful God. And he came up with a plan. He had one already for the restoration of our access to the tree of life. As long as he could still carry out his punishment that was due to mankind for their disobedience, he would still be a holy and just God. He couldn't just forget about it. He couldn't just say, "Yeah, let's pretend like it didn't happen." Okay, he did that later on. But at this point, he still had to punish that sin. It had to be dealt with. So he laid all of our sins and all of our iniquities upon his only begotten Son and had him bear our punishment for us. Okay, the prophet Isaiah spoke of this plan of God. Speaking of Jesus, he says this in Isaiah 53:5-6. He said, "But he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." See, throughout the scriptures, we're told that God had a plan that included the washing away of our sin against him, so that he could restore us to a right standing, a place of righteousness with God, simply through faith in the completed works of Jesus Christ on the cross. It's referred to as the New Covenant, or the New Testament of Jesus Christ. See, our problem and the punishment for sin started with a tree. But the solution also comes through a tree. God's plan was to come to the earth in human form, to live a perfect and sinless life like only he was capable of, and then allowed himself to be punished for our iniquities, for our sins, by being crucified on a cross. The cross, if you know in scriptures, is frequently referred to as a tree. Okay, and Jesus was hung on a tree, sufficiently paying the price and the penalty for the sins of mankind against a holy God. As he hung there, he knew why he was there. A different place talks about Jesus that he was beaten beyond recognition at that point. All the punishment for all our sin. If you can imagine the bearing of all the sin of the entire world in one moment, that's what Christ did on that cross. Let's read some in Romans 5:17. I want to show you what Jesus did. This is describing Adam and Jesus. Okay, the two that it's describing here. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, named Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." See, having sufficiently taken the punishment for our sins, God then rose his Son from the dead, causing the stone to be rolled away so that he could walk out of that grave. Okay, those that were saved by grace through faith testified of this miraculous eternal life-changing event. Okay, let's read some of this in Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 39. They said, "And we are witnesses of all things which he, Jesus, did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead." That means the alive and the dead. "To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins." This was God's plan. Okay, let's read one more testimony in Acts 13, starting in verse 28. It says, "And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate." You guys remember Pontius Pilate, that whole scene where they got to choose whether they wanted him to release Jesus or Barabbas. Okay, and they cried out, "Crucify Jesus and give us Barabbas instead." They wanted him to be crucified. So Pilate followed through on it. It said, "Yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." See, the penalty for our sins against God was death. Okay, it says that in Romans, right? The wages of sin is death. That word death, it literally means an eternal separation from God. A separation from God for an eternity. It was a sentence to be endured in the never-ending fires of hell. Okay, a place that was originally created for the devil and his demons. That punishment, though, of separation from our loving God was paid for by Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay, as he hung on the cross, he paid that price of separation from God. Matthew describes it as he shows how he cried out. It's in Matthew 27, 46. It says, "About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" A moment in time recorded the pure anguish of being rejected by God. Jesus bore that on the cross. He had an instant where he submitted himself to full rejection by God on our behalf. He suffered that rejection for you so that you would never have to experience it. Jesus bore the curse and the punishment for sin for us. As Paul describes this to the Galatians, the Christians in Galatia, in chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So that the blessing of Abraham, that salvation by faith," that's my add-in there, because that's what it meant to follow in the blessing of Abraham. Abraham's known as the father of faith. Okay, we get to be saved by faith. Okay, so that, now verse 14, "that the blessing of Abraham," or salvation by faith, "might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith." Again, Peter described this in 1 Peter 2:24. He said, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, so that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. See, now through Christ, we have complete and total access to God and the kingdom of heaven. Okay, the restoration to the Garden of Eden-like experience for the believer, the children of God, has been restored. Okay, the tree of life is once again accessible to you and I. In Revelation chapter 2, John declared that this was the end result that Jesus had revealed to him in the revelation. In Revelation 2:7, John says, "He that has an ear, let him hear." Well, this is Jesus, he's quoting. "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Okay, the tree of life that was once placed in our midst for mankind to freely partake of is again made available to anyone who of their own will and choice chooses to partake of that tree of life. As John describes the end of the world as we know it, he says this in Revelation 22, starting in verse 1. It says, "And he showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." And then John tells us that Jesus says this at the very end in Revelation 22:12. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be." Jesus says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." See, in the last few days of Jesus' life, he stated in a prayer unto God, he said, "I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do." He's talking to his Father saying, "I came and did what you asked me to do." And then you know that with his very last breath on earth, while he's still hanging from the tree that was restoring us back to the access to the tree of life, he says, "It is finished." He did what he came to do. Jesus has restored our access to the tree of life. Jesus successfully took us as humanity from tree to tree to tree. He made it possible. Amen. Amen. Father God, we are going to praise you this morning. I praise you for your plan. Father, you had a good plan, Father. Supernatural, bigger than anything we could have thought up as mankind, Lord. And you put things in motion. You used people, you used men and women to do it, to bring to pass all that needed to happen, to restore us to a good place with you, to make us in a place where righteousness, right standing with you, is freely accessible through your Son. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing what you did on the cross. Thank you for your obedience and your work, your willingness to make all this happen on our behalf. We're grateful for your thoughtfulness of us. We're grateful for your love for us. We're grateful that you are so awesome, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen. God did what he came to do through Jesus.